And we do that with Chris Barrett from the Sydney Morning Herald. G'day, Chris.
Morning, guys.
End of the test season in this country. What sort of pass mark do we give the Australians? Two losses, four wins?
Well, it's a good question. Probably two separate assignments, really, wasn't it? I mean, horrible failure first up, and then you know, probably back to what we thought would happen against Pakistan in the second part of the series. I don't know, maybe the second part of the summer. Perhaps a B or even verging on a B plus, I guess. But losing at home is something that happens pretty rarely in terms of actual series losses.
Yeah.
So that was reasonably significant. But I think the fact that they got back on track with a pretty comprehensive victory over Pakistan is impressive. Don't know if it's instructive ahead of India, as you guys have been discussing. It's a completely different test altogether, and I think they've probably been thinking about it for some time now, and now they're I suppose allowed to officially think about it and put together this squad that we're going to see in probably 3 or 4 days' time, which will have some faces in there that haven't been in the test squad for a while or at all, but who they think will get the job done over there.
Mm. Chris, you cricket writers.
You cricket writers.
In November, if I remember correctly, you're all calling for everyone to be sacked. James Sutherland, Rod Marsh, Darren Lehman, change the team. And then they turned it all around.
Well,
don't you
James
think you jumped
team?
The gun a little bit?
Well, they sacked the selector and they changed the team, so I think we were probably on the market.
You probably were, right, weren't they? I was doing the same thing, so I can't really complain too much.
I think actually what they've done too is got themselves ahead of the pace with that big changeover period. I know they would have preferred not to have to do it if they were winning against South Africa and they wouldn't have gone and made such drastic changes. But with India ahead and then the Ashes, you know, I think the team was in need of renewal, or certainly was in need of being in a settled position by the time you get to England or by the time England come out here at the end of the year. And they brought in guys like Peter Hanscom, who was on the radar for India anyway. Remember when Pat Howard talked about this horses for courses process that they were going to take in selection after they were thumped in Sri Lanka? Well, Peter Hanscom at that time was one of the guys he was talking about because he's done all right on India A tour before. He's seen as one of the better players of spin, as we've probably seen in the last few weeks. So in many ways, they're a little bit more advanced than otherwise would have been if they had just been a little bit better against South Africa.
Similarly, Darren Lehman didn't come out and fully endorse Matt Renshaw to retain his opening spot, and you know, a lot of people are saying that's wrong. I actually agree with that. I know it's strange to say it after the big innings at the SCG, but I agree with that, given they are such different conditions over there. The bowlers they face are world-class on those conditions.
Yeah, he walked it back a bit in the press conference, those comments, I reckon. But and they do have a big rap on Shaun Marsh. He's got two career hundreds in Sri Lanka, which, by the way, is not India. So I actually would like to see Renshaw start over there. I agree with Slatt, sort of, that I think he should, you know, coming off this great maiden home summer that he's had, he seems like the sort of guy to be a pretty quick learner. He's got the temperament to bat over there, I reckon. We haven't yet seen whether he's got the actual skills, but the one thing they want to do over there, which Lehman has articulated, is bat long. Not just bat to get a score, but bat for 150 overs in a first innings to ensure that you're getting a huge score. Now he's shown that he's capable of doing that. Whether he can cope with Ashwin and Jadeja at the other end is a different story. But
sure,
I think, should he show something in the tour match over there or at the training camp in Dubai where they're going to be playing on the simulated wickets, I think he deserves to get first crack at it.
What about the conundrum that is Glenn Maxwell? Is he in the 16 and is he any show of starting in the test match?
I just think he's got to be in there for mine, and I think they'll probably end up going that way. I just don't know why they actually went for Hilton Cartwright with respect to the young guy in Sydney. He can bat, obviously. I think Steve Smith took about watched his four overs in one spell to realise that he's not really probably up to the scratch as a test bowler. Mm. It didn't really show a great deal of foresight to the India series. I would have liked to see one of the spin bowling all-rounders, someone like Glenn Maxwell there. He's obviously been out of favour, and those comments that about Matthew Wade in the New Zealand One Day series. Didn't do him any favours, but you know, he's got a lot of experience over there. He was on the last tour. I think he'd be the sort of guy that they should have on the side. And I actually think Mitchell Marsh should probably be going as well, because I think they need someone who can be a third seaming option with just those two quicks probably going into every test match. And, you know, I think he may well get the nod for that.
It's not that he was wrong about those comments with Matthew Wade. It's just that he shouldn't have said them publicly. I think that's the thing that he got in trouble for. The cricket being delayed on Friday. I've had a blow up about it, Chris, and there's a few people that went out there on... What on earth? Who... Is it Channel 9? Is it the Trust? Is it the umpires? Is it the ICC? Why is it that we've had rain? Yeah, I understand that. But you've got a stadium half full of paying spectators and you've got everyone sitting at home waiting to go and they take a 40-minute lunch break.
You're right. Sometimes you just shake your head at Test cricket, don't you? Like, they've got the players are out there warming up in the outfield and everyone's standing around looking at the pitch, which looks like it's ready to go. And
yeah.
I don't have a straight answer for you. We're tearing our hair out as well for different reasons, probably selfish reasons about early deadlines, as Webby can tell you about. But
I had a luncheon, so I was right. Sweet.
No, he was fine. He was having entree at that point.
Worked out well for
lovely.
Me.
Okay, well, then maybe that is the reason to look after the Webbies. Well,
oh, you're good.
But yeah, look, I think you're right, Jimmy. It seems quite anachronistic, doesn't it, to be not actually getting on there and playing as soon as you can, particularly when there's a result up for grabs. And I thought the crowds actually were reasonably good given that it was dead rubber and there was so much rain about. You know, to get, I think, 17,000 on day five, I know it's helped out the fact that it was a weekend, but Sydney cops a lot for its crowd sometimes to everything, and I know they probably haven't got a big enough crowd to justify a second Sydney Test match, as they like making noise about up this way, but I reckon the attendance wasn't too bad given the circumstances.
All eyes turn to the One Days at the end of this week now. Billy Stanlake's been called up, Chris Lynn's been called up. It's good to see the form of the BBL being reflected in national selection.
Yeah, and the guys that have lost their place is probably as much of a story as well. I mean, Aaron Finch hasn't made too many runs lately. I think he's averaged 20 since January. He's lost his spot, which is quite significant. And George Bailey, probably a little bit harder done by. I mean, the guy does average 40 in one-day cricket, and we could see what he did for the Hurricanes last night. So you would like to think that George Bailey's still in the mix for the Champions Trophy, which is what they're building this team around, or building this team for now. That's on in at the start of the English summer. So, you know, you get a suspicion that perhaps, you know, the conditions that tournament will be played in with the ball swinging around in England, you know, wouldn't suit the likes of an Aaron Finch anyway. So that one makes sense. And, you know, it's got there's implications, obviously, for the Big Bash League, as we spoke about last week, Jimmy, with Khawaja coming into the side and not being available for Thunder and contrastingly, Finch... going back to the Big Bash for the Renegades. So it obviously hurts the Brisbane Heat as well, losing Chris Lynn.
Oh, well, I was going to say, yeah, Finch back, and Brad Haddin's already identified him as the big wicket that they'll have to take tonight out there at the SCG. But imagine you're taking on Brisbane and there's no Chris Lynn. Every bowler has just stopped sweating. Relieved.
I know it's meant to be a domestic competition and the pinnacle was playing for Australia, but the way this Big Bash has gone, you know, it's almost been it's almost the highlight of this month with the one day against the One Day International. So it's hard to get that balance right. Really, you don't really want to downplay your competition by when you've got the guy playing for Australia. But conversely, you know, he obviously wants to play for Australia, and the match payments, let alone on their own, are quite handy. I know he still has ambitions, as he said, to play Test cricket for Australia if he can get his shoulder right.
Well, that'll be the day, won't it, that he's rested from the Australian One Day side so he can turn out for the Brisbane Heat in the Big Bash League. That will be...
far away, I reckon.
Yeah, exactly. Good on you, Chris. Appreciate that, mate. We'll speak again. Actually, we won't speak again. It'll be Slats and TK back speaking to you next week. But appreciate your work over summer. Thanks, mate.
Good on you, guys.